T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, please, 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 please. I could use it. Tell me something good. I want to hear something good for once. 314-436-7900 is the phone number here. You can call or text, or 800-925-1120. Tell you, we got a great podcast posted up for you at KMOX.com. Or if you have a smartphone, even better, just go to whatever app you have for your podcast, like the Apple iPhone. It's got the podcast built in, the Androids too. Just click the button and search for Overnight America, and boom. Listen back to any of the part of the show you want. We post it all online. I don't know where to start. I got a couple of good stories to share. Should I do the one that's, it's not technically a good story, but I think it's a fun story? Let me do this one from KMOV, because I do like the idea that this man is taking a stance here. A man who was sucker punched on a downtown Metrolink train is a strong message for his attackers. I like this kind of guy.
When it comes to safety on St. Louis's buses and trains,
Metrolink tries to cover it up and say, well, it's safe and all that stuff, but it's not, because I'm a victim of it now.
Mark Morris became a statistic Wednesday after riding an eastbound Metrolink train to the Civic Center station and coming across a group of men on the train.
One of them hit me right upside the head. He was swinging for the fence. You know, he was trying to knock me out.
Morris recalls getting jabs on the left side of his face.
When he hit me, I went like this. My glasses came up off my face like that, and I knew I'd been hit.
Mm. Morris recovered quickly, but not fast.
You know, to be on the Metrolink, number one, I've talked to people, and they have no problem with it. You know, I talk to people that ride it, and they say, you know, I've never had an issue. I've seen things on it. People normally don't hassle you, but there's very easy ways for you to get kicked off. But is it being policed properly?
Fast enough to catch who threw the punch.
One of the guys turned around and looked at me, and he looked scared because he hadn't knocked me out like he wanted to.
Morris rode the train down another stop to 8th and Pine, where he called police. He gave a report and remembers one officer telling him.
He said that, you know, he said we just can't be on every train, and I felt like they're hardly on any train.
Yeah, exactly. When you've been victim, you realize very quickly when you start paying attention, like, all right, where are the police on this one? How about on this one? How about on this one? Maybe you pay a little closer attention.
It's not the message Morris wanted to hear, so he has two for
him. All right, here's his messages. Now, the whole story here, the only reason I play this on a Tell Me Something Good because of his message to his attackers. I love this guy. This is the type of guy I wish was my neighbor. Listen.
His attackers.
First one, you hit like a girl, whoever you are.
Yes! Love that. Oh, I wish this guy was my neighbor.
And secondly, I would say that you just shouldn't treat people that way. You shouldn't do violent acts towards people.
Absolutely. Number one, you hit like a girl, whoever you are. Number two, you shouldn't be doing that to other people, period. What a great message. Great message from this guy that is profiled here. Mark Morris on KMOV. I like that one. All right, here's another good story I'd like to share with you. And if you have a good story you'd like to share, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Over in Marion, Illinois, Mayor Robert Butler announced his retirement, set to retire, I guess, at the end of next year, January 31st. Oh, no, he just retired, excuse me. When I heard about this story, I had no idea who Mayor Robert Butler was, so he just retired. He's enjoying the retirement life, but he's one of the longest-serving mayors. He was elected in 1963. You can only be so lucky to do something you love and enjoy for that long. There's a profile of him that was recently posted on the Southerner. But he said his counsel has been professional. He saw a lot of changes over the years. You don't need to hear about everything that happened in Marion over his time. I mean, they documented it pretty well. But he said that he's humbled in the fact that two or three generations of the same family have voted for him. He also said some things have never changed. He said certain truths and values they adhere to. I love that. And just a realistic type of guy. That was a really good profile. I didn't know much about him, but I learned about him, so I wanted to mention that as a good thing. One other thing, because I wanted to fit this in. Texas Children's Hospital will be launching a $100 million initiative with the Walt Disney Company. I think it's great that Walt Disney Company is getting involved in this way, and the more they can help, the better. So the Walt Disney Company, $100 million they'll commit over the next 5 years to help reinvent the experience at children's hospitals around the world, the Disney CEO and chairman Bob Iger said. Iger said on March 7th. So he made the announcement at the Texas Children's Hospital, and he actually donated a picture to them, apparently commissioned by Walt Disney himself. It's a depiction of Texas Children's Hospital while it was under construction in 1952. I'm looking at the picture of it, so it shows like the building, and it has some trees and a playground and swings and things like that. And it's got Pluto and Goofy and Mickey Mouse and Donald, and they're just kind of like looking around, either playing or watching the kids, and it's really cool. They said those hospitals worldwide will benefit from the initiative. Texas Children will be the first to work with the company. We chose Texas Children's Hospital because they are a global leader in pediatric care, as well as the largest children's hospital in the country, and their dedicated healers share our commitment to support the emotional well-being of young patients and their families. So the things they can learn from this and the money investment could spill over and, who knows, affect even things here in St. Louis. I think that's wonderful. Iger said that the company will also assemble a team of heroes, which is a group of patient care experts, to help Disney understand various aspects of the patient experience, such as what causes the most stress for parents. I just think it's great. We're going to use our beloved characters and renowned creativity to bring our timeless stories to life in innovative ways and hopefully transform a hospital stay into a warmer, more personalized environment for each patient. Love it. Anything you can do to help those kids when they go to a hospital setting. They are already in a situation where it's not easy for them, not easy for the parents either. Anything you can do to take their mind off of whatever treatment they're getting, whatever pain they're experiencing, whatever sadness they may have, whatever boredom they have, will be worth it every time. And to use Disney characters and to use your namesake in order to help them, already recognized by all of these kids, as something that's going to comfort them. Excellent. I love that. Absolutely love it. So congratulations to Walt Disney. If I can give you a high five, Mickey Mouse, I would. All right, we're going to try to get to as much as we can this hour. I already talked about the President Trump's proposed military space force. Maybe, you know, let's talk about the kids walking out. Let's talk about the walkout that's planned on today. If you have any kids in high school that are planning or are in an area where they may be walking out, well, what have you told them? Are you going to support them? Or are you telling them that if I find you walk out and you get disciplined, you're going to be punished? Which way are you going on this? 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX. Overnight America. I want to let you know we'll be talking to Chris Raby this hour, too. If you fill out a bracket in anticipation for the big tournament that's starting up this week, why don't you get some of his takes? He's got some good ones. Let's get to Bree coming in the Lone Star State, in Lone Star, Texas. What's going on?
Well, you're always wanting to hear something good.
Yes.
I was listening to the man that called in that had a relative with MS.
Yes.
And it comes to the condition that, you know, she couldn't speak any longer.
Right. That was Tom in Ohio that called in last hour. Sure.
Well, I have a nephew that's 38 years old. He has what's called progressive MS. And that's the same in the same condition that she's in, except he still could say a few words, but you know, that was about it. He can't walk. He's lost his ability to walk or sit up or anything. Mm. But anyway, he learned he had this 14 years ago. He was preparing in his church to become a missionary in Ethiopia.
Okay.
He had learned the language. He was engaged to be married and go to Egypt.
Okay.
I mean, go to Ethiopia. And then he had an accident, and he learned that he had MS, and that was 14 years ago.
Through the accident he learned?
Because he'd had an accident about 8 weeks before that.
Uh-huh.
And so when they were asking him about how that happened, he said, well, all of a sudden my left leg just wouldn't function.
Mm.
And so they started running some tests on him. And at first they said he had Bell's palsy, but then they finally, 2 years later, they decided that he had MS.
Mm.
And he has taken all of the treatments, treatments for infusion, $9,000 an infusion, and he's ended up in the last year in a long-term nursing facility because he is in the same condition that that relative of his was in, that he couldn't hardly speak. He was having problems swallowing. He couldn't walk. He couldn't even sit up by himself. However, my sister is a very wonderful Christian,
mm-hmm.
and she said, I know that God is not through with Jonathan yet. And she said, I'm going to try one more thing. So she was lined up to go to Thailand and take him for stem cell research treatment.
In Thailand?
In Thailand,
okay.
Uh-huh. And so that was already, they were working towards that, but she needed $40,000. Well, we got to $16,000 with our family and the church and friends. We raised $16,000.
Okay.
And she saw some kind of a thing on a website. She contacted this doctor there in Dallas where she is, and he told her that he wanted to do these experiments on Jonathan.
Hmm.
So after she told him what Jonathan's condition was in, well, 12 days ago, he had his first, they took out his own stem cells. They rejuvenated them by sending them to a lab in Florida, and then they send them right back.
Huh. But so they take out his own, and then they have some sort of process.
Right.
And then they reinsert them in.
They cultivate the bad stem cells out.
Okay.
And then they put the new, then they rejuvenate.
Okay.
They make them repairmen, like Dr. Rowland said, they make them repairmen.
So when did this happen?
12 days ago, he had his first injection in his spine. And when he was putting them in the spine, Dr. Rowland said to the stem cells, go get them.
Good.
So guess what?
What's that?
Jonathan is... My sister there is at that nursing home every day.
Mm-hmm.
And Jonathan, they went to therapy this morning. He went to therapy and in water, what's called aqua therapy.
Uh-huh.
And they got him onto this stand, and he stood up, and he is speaking. This is only 12 days.
Amazing.
And he's already speaking, and he had the strength to get onto this frame for them to let him down in the water.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yes, and my sister said that he's eating with a fork. He's feeding himself with a fork.
How has that helped him mentally? That's got to be a big boost for him.
Oh,
he's able to do these things.
Let me tell you something. Jonathan is a true missionary. I told Ann, it's just that his mission was not Ethiopia.
Yeah.
His mission is to show other people with MS that God is still his healer,
wow.
Their healers. And he has such endurance and such courage. And I wanted to send you some pictures of him on your website, because if you look at Jonathan in his eyes, he has the brightest, most joy. He has a joy inside of him
mm-hmm.
that is unreal.
You have my email address?
Isn't it ryan.recker?
At kmox.com.
At kmox.com.
Right, yes. Yeah, send me those. I'd love to learn more and see the difference it's making.
Only 12 days. Now, in 5 more days, you'll have another injection.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's been preparing for this for 2 months. He's been taking these Balance of Nature capsules.
Yeah.
He's also been eating lots of, grapefruit and avocados and special foods,
uh-huh.
a diet that the doctor put him on,
mm-hmm.
Completely gluten-free.
Okay.
And he looks really good.
Good.
I just believe that someone like Jonathan, because it takes, when you are in that situation, Ryan, it takes more than what any doctor can do.
Oh, yeah.
It takes a faith that will not let go.
You can recognize that when you see it. Sometimes it takes for you to see it in your own life or in your family's life for you to be able to recognize that sort of thing. How real that sort of thing is. And that's an amazing story, Bree.
Yeah, but you know, it was Jonathan. He lost, he couldn't become a missionary. The girl's family wanted her to break the engagement. They said that, you know, as time went on, Jonathan would become a very dependent on her, and she just wasn't the person that could take care of a person like that.
Mm-mm-mm.
So all of his hopes and dreams just went down the drain of having children, of being a missionary, of having a wife, I mean, everything. But this young man never gave up on his belief in his God.
Good for him. Good for you
and
guys.
He did not become bitter. He just used it to make him a better person. He has a lot of, he's a very sweet-natured person. And he's very tolerant and very patient with people. And I can say that he didn't used to be. But it's amazing. I know that sometimes here in the last week, I've had an experience of my own. I fell. And
how was it outside or was it in the house?
With my dog outside.
Okay.
I clipped him. I put a leash on him to pull him away from the fence because of the neighbor's dogs next door.
Yeah.
And I went to pull him, and he went the other direction, and he just landed me right on my back and then my side. And I couldn't even move for about 20 minutes.
Oh, wow.
But I said, no weapon formed against me has prospered.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up from there, but I want to tell you something. In the last 4 or 5 days, I have had such pain that it was terrible, and I thought that I was never going to get over it.
Oh, Bree.
But today, my sister kept sending me text messages and telling me what she was praying, you know, and telling me different things to do. And I did them, and I am pretty much out of it tonight. I'm telling you that I do not hurt at all.
Oh, that's great to hear. Wonderful.
And it was just because I knew she was praying for me and that I was going to get well, because I said, oh, what am I going to do? I can't, you know, I have my animals to take care of and my house to take care of. I just think that's
great. You know what, Bree, I love hearing that. I'm glad you're doing better. I'm glad to hear about your nephew, and you'll have to keep us updated.
His name is Jonathan, and I want everyone to be praying for him, because you're going to see a miracle out of Jonathan. In fact, I told him, Jonathan, you're going to be just like Joseph was. You're going to Washington, D.C. You're going to sit in the Oval Office with the President of the United States, and you're going to ask him to sign that bill where people can get this care and stem cell research and other care that the FDA will not pay for it with the Medicare and Medicaid and the insurance. See, no insurance will pay for that. Cash money.
Yeah. How pricey is it here in the United States?
I'm sorry, what?
How pricey is it in the United States? Like, how much, if they were charging, how much would it cost them?
Well, we had to come up with $16,000.
Oh, $16,000. Okay, to get this rejuvenation.
Right,
yeah,
but
okay.
That's only the beginning.
We're
going to have to go on a fund me to get more. But
I see.
Right now,
keep it going.
We told him, my sister told him, well, you know, we've raised $16,000, and that's all we have right now.
You're seeing the dividends of it, though. The treatment has been, that's wonderful. Bree, we gotta go. I'm so glad you're able to tell that story. That's amazing. I'm glad you're feeling better, and I can't wait to hear updates on your nephew. I know there's going to be great things coming from him, too.
And you know, I want Ron to, I hope that Ron's listening tonight, because I want Ron to get better, and he can. Don't even look at your age. Your age has nothing to do with it. Moses was given an assignment by God when he was 80 years old.
Uh-huh. You're right. You're right, Bree. Hey, thank you so much for sharing that story. Loved hearing it. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Wow, what a story from Bree. I'm going to wait, you know, with all of the treatment that her nephew's getting. I mean, that's going to be a great moment of victory for her to call in and talk about how that's working. Love it. This is Overnight America, Camo X. Welcome back to Overnight America. Chris Raby joins us. Welcome back to Missouri.
It's good to be back.
You were working all day and all night down in Florida.
It was a good time, though.
You soaked in a lot of baseball. Did it feel great?
It did. The weather was great. Obviously was a bit of a harsh welcome back to come back here, and it was snowing.
You came back on Sunday during the snow?
Yeah, came back Saturday night and wake up Sunday morning and it starts snowing. So,
and it didn't seem like it wanted to stop. It was snowing for the most part of the whole day.
Yeah, I mean, geez, it's like supposed to be spring. It's spring in like a week, isn't it?
Yeah, so, how long were you down there for? It was almost a month.
For a month, yeah. Yeah,
so that's quite a difference. Beautiful weather, baseball, you're outdoors all day. And then all of a sudden you come back and it's snowing.
But it means that we're very close to opening day, which will be, you know, next Thursday or two weeks from this Thursday, sorry, in New York. And then 3 weeks from this Thursday is the home opener. So
unbelievable.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Doesn't it feel good to know that it's around the corner? It's comforting to know baseball is back.
Yeah, and I just, this, you know, we talked about it all night, that this is the best time of year for sports with, you know, baseball starting and March Madness and the Masters and the NBA and NHL going down to the wires. So it's a great time, man.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Good. It's been a lonely month without you.
Aww. Oh,
yeah.
It's very nice of you to say.
But you did check in through your busy schedule, and I was very much appreciated that. So it's good to have you back.
Happy to do it. Happy to chat, even though, I said I hoped I wasn't like half asleep or a zombie for most of the time, but it's a cool thing. Anyone who is a big Cardinal fan, I just cannot recommend enough getting to spring training, because it's such a different and unique experience in terms of how close you are to everyone, the access that you have, and just watching a baseball game in that environment in a small ballpark is really, really cool. Yeah. So love it.
How many brackets do you fill out for the NCAA tournament?
I fill out just one, and then I'll join a couple of different groups. But
with the same bracket?
Yes, just the one bracket. Yeah. Like, I hate the person that's like, well, you know, in this bracket I have Kansas over Duke, but in this one I have Duke over Kansas, and in this one I had Michigan State beating Duke before they even get to face Kansas.
Like,
you can't be rooting against yourself.
Yeah, it's like when you have multiple fantasy football leagues and your quarterback's playing against your other player, and you hope they don't
trim
score.
Trim that stuff down.
I hate that.
I had to clean that up, but You were kind of bragging to me about some of your bracket strategy.
Oh, it's a foolproof strategy. It works maybe a quarter of the time. So if you can win an office pool 25% of the time, I think that's a pretty good strategy. And it's worked very well for me in the past.
Are you going to spill the beans?
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's a very simple strategy. You find someone that you like in the sports media and you copy their bracket. Yeah, well, no. Like, there's a little things. Like, for example, the Missouri-Florida State. The one I copied had Florida State going. I picked Missouri to beat that
one. Who did you pick? Are you going to reveal your... I guess, you know what? You probably shouldn't reveal it.
I went Virginia. I had them winning it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had them going all the way. That's who I had Virginia taking on Michigan State in
the
finals.
Like it.
So and that's exactly how the person I stole the bracket from went.
But that's all right.
Small variations.
Because there are a lot of people who are paid a lot of money to follow every aspect of college basketball. It's just too much. I can't do it. So
And it works. I don't know why. It cuts through office bias. So if you're in an area where there's a high concentration of super fans, it cuts through the bias. Yeah. So I don't have to. I feel like that doesn't influence me as much, even though I'm an out of towner, just moved in. So
see,
it wouldn't influence me as
Florida
much.
Florida State, like, and if you were in our office pool, the Entercom office pool, you could probably get a bit of an advantage by picking Florida State.
Yeah, but I just don't think they're going to win.
Oh,
so that's why I
did it.
So what about you? Do you have your insights onto this?
I don't really have any great insights. My strategy would be kind of to, you go against, like, I think a lot of people are going to have Virginia getting to the Final Four, getting to the championship. Mm-hmm. So I will fade Virginia. I will stay away from Virginia.
Okay.
The same goes for, like, Villanova.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people picking them.
A lot of people. And they're great. They were in the title last year. So I don't blame people for picking them. You know, for me, it's just kind of go through, make your picks, and stick with them. Uh-huh. Don't, because there's so much randomness in this tournament that I feel like when you get into trouble is when you second guess and you go back and you change stuff. Just, it's random. Nobody knows. There are a lot of upsets that people don't predict. A couple of years ago, it was Michigan State as like the number one seed in the whole thing. I think they lost in the first or second round, or maybe they were a two seed. They lost to Middle Tennessee here in St. Louis. So it's just, it's random. Like, just go with your gut, make your picks, and if you have a system like you do, stick to it, and then see how it goes.
I feel like the old lady that walks into a casino and she knows which nickel slot she's going to just by this, the sound and the smell of it. You know, if you want to go to a place,
smells like cigarettes.
Yeah, well, that, and if it smells like a lot of coins, you know, they're a hot area. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
You have a lot of really wealthy people playing the nickel slots in the casinos.
That's my kind of people.
Yes. There you go.
You can tell this sort of thing based on how I dress and how I refuse to buy new shoes.
You know, pick your spots, make your picks, and stick with them. And if you want to cheer for Mizzou, then pick Mizzou.
Yeah,
you don't want to be cheering against Mizzou if you're a Mizzou fan. It's fine.
Yeah, it's more fun when you have something to root for. Right.
Yeah. Like, no doubt.
A lot of these games, you might have interest in Mizzou winning, but then you have about 20 other games you'd have no interest in
unless
it was for something like this.
I like it. I like it.
There's the Spun. It's a website, a sports site that came up with the 64 most annoying people in sports media. Now, there's some pretty strong number one seeds in this. As someone that is in sports media like yourself, this is hilarious to me. I want to get some of your impressions on some of these people in the seedings of them. Like Stephen A. Smith, a number one seed. I kind of like Stephen A. Smith.
He's crazy. Him and him and Skip Bayless on the same side of the bracket. That's perfect. Just a couple of things that stand out. Darren Revelle is a two seed. I know he drives people crazy on Twitter.
Dan Dockich is on there. Do you like him?
Yeah, I like Dan. He's good. There are some people on here that I really like.
Tony Kornheiser.
Yeah, never really watched that show, so I don't really have an opinion. But there are some people I like on here. Like, I love Joe Buck. And I think that, like,
he's a four seed. Isn't that crazy?
So with a lot of these folks, if they're national broadcasters like Joe Buck, the joke kind of is that everyone just thinks that Joe Buck hates their team because he's not a local broadcaster. And I've heard him talk about this, like, especially baseball is so provincial, and we get, you know, a full season of Mike Shannon and John Rooney and then the postseason with them. But if you're watching TV, you get Dan McLaughlin and the great Fox Sports Midwest analysts, and they do such a good job that when the postseason comes and you're watching like TBS or Fox or whatever, you're like, what the heck? If they're playing it down the middle, it may seem like they're against your team.
Yeah.
So I think that some of the national guys get a tough shake.
Bad
like Tony Romo. I thought Romo was fantastic this year NFL. It's
that's why he's at a 14 seed. He's down low. Like Tim Tebow's on there too. He doesn't do a lot of sports broadcasting, does he?
Yeah, he does like the SEC stuff.
Oh, okay.
Who's on here that's
Charles Barkley is crazy.
He's great.
He's so good.
He's the best.
Yeah, Charles Barkley and Shaq together as a team. It's hard to beat that team.
But Barkley's a 13 seed. So I guess that means that people don't think he's that annoying. Greenberg and Golic going against each other in the first round.
Ooh,
how about that?
Ooh, that's a big one. You think they're rooting for themselves in that? Do you think they care?
I don't know. Who else is on here that really stands out? This thing is great. So this is from thespun.com.
Yeah, Aaron Andrews is on there, but Keith Olbermann doesn't even do sports anymore, does he?
No, he did for like a little bit last year. I guess it's a real compliment if you're on this thing.
That people care enough to hate you?
Yeah, man. Like that means that people are paying attention. He moves the needle a lot, one way or another. He's got a huge following in the South.
Mm-hmm.
He's the SEC football guy.
Yeah, let's
Terry
see.
Bradshaw.
I thought people, for the most part, like him.
He's just like borderline senile, I think.
Colin Cowherd's a number two seed. How is Chris Collinsworth on there? I didn't think he was that hated.
No,
he's a
seven
seed.
I think like he's really good.
Yeah, I like
Rick Riley.
Joe
doesn't
Buck.
Do anything anymore, does he?
I'm surprised Joe Buck's a four seed. Woody Page is on there. Then they have some media organizations.
This is like a bracket of the 64 most famous people in sports media, essentially.
All right, pick one name on each side of the bracket who you think could go to the finals.
Oh, Skip Bayless.
Skip Bayless on the left side and then the right side.
Why is Jemele Hill up there? Just because of the Trump stuff?
Yeah, I would put her. I think I would almost.
It's going to be Skip Bayless and Clay Travis.
You think so? Jemele Hill.
Which is a compliment to both of those men because they're both wildly successful, and apparently a lot of people are paying a lot of attention to
them. Like this bracket, I would almost create this bracket around Hill winning it all. Like, I would say, she's terrible. I'm going to make a bracket so she can lose.
But that's because of your political views.
Oh, absolutely it is.
It has nothing to do, have you ever heard her sports commentary?
No.
You just think it's annoying.
Yeah.
Like, the term is the most annoying. You just think it's annoying what she uses her platform for.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So I look at that. I'm allowed to
biases I'm that curious. Way. How is Jim Nance? He's great.
He's classic. Dan Le Batard's a 3 seed.
This is the time of Jim Nance.
Yeah.
The Final Four, and then a couple of days later, the Masters.
Oh, that's right around the corner, too, isn't it? Wow.
Come on.
Chris Raby, thanks for spending some time here breaking down some brackets.
Yeah, I wish I had some more hot takes on this sports media bracket. Now, are people going to vote on this, and are they going to show the results?
Yeah, you can go to thespun.com/most-annoying, and you don't even have to register. You can just click who you want. They do them in, like, the divisions, I guess, and then you can just go through it. And
the regions,
tally them up. Yeah, the regions.
Like, you've got the West, South.
Yeah.
East and Midwest.
So like you have the Stephen A. Smith region, you have the Skip Bayless region.
Britt McHenry and Jemele Hill. There you go.
Oh, very fun. Well, welcome back. Good to have you back here, Chris Raby.
All right, buddy. Good to be back.
Another segment coming up on Overnight America, KMOX. Overnight America continues, and bummer news about Stephen Hawking passing away at the age of 76. His 3 children announced his death at his home in Cambridge, England. Hawking's A Brief History of Time became an international bestseller, making him one of science's biggest celebrities. Everyone knows who Stephen Hawking is, right? Everyone knows. And he's a brilliant mind. He came up with a lot of interesting theories for us to work around. There's a couple of stories I remember about him. I always thought it was funny that he tried to prove that time travel could be possible. He actually did a scientific, I don't know if you'd be scientific, but he did a test, the Stephen Hawking test. So he had a giant party that he held, and he thought, this will be great. We'll bring all the people I know. Well, it wasn't really a party for all the people he knew. It was a party for time travelers. So he threw this party, and then after the party, sent out the invitations. How many people do you think showed up? Now, the idea is, if you send out the alert of the party after it happened, no people would show up. But if there was a time traveler who got this, saw it, and said, I can go and participate in this, then I'm going to go do it, then they would. 0 people showed up because time travel is not possible. But he still tried it, which I thought was pretty cool that he would do something like that, I guess. He was on The Simpsons a few times. They had fun with him. He appeared on The Simpsons several times. I didn't realize it was several times. Writer and producer of the show, Al Jean, says those episodes are some of his favorite highlights.
There was There was one where he explained that a black hole had caused Homer to not see somebody who was actually there. And then there was one where he appeared in a musical number with The Flight of the Conchords. So we got a lot of use out of him. And he was an action figure.
Oh, that's right. They made a Stephen Hawking Simpsons action figure. I forgot about that. Oh, I bet that's going for some good money on eBay. But no, what a cool little thing that they'd be able to include him. I remember the episode where there was the Mensa group, the smartest people in Springfield. You had Stephen Hawking come in. He had like a almost like Inspector Gadget helicopter that would fly him down. And he gave this big speech about being smart or whatever. And Homer stands up and yells, that's right. Larry Flynt is right. Well, of course, Larry Flynt, the famous pornographer that was also in a wheelchair that Homer mixed him up with. That was pretty funny. But I forgot that he was on a couple times. That's kind of cool that they would invite him to do that. So Stephen Hawking passing away at the age of 76. A lot of people you'll be hearing talking about when he was diagnosed with ALS, known as Lou Gehrig's disease, when he was a student, just 21 years old, and how he was able to continue, with his life and still contribute and all these discoveries and communicate the way he decided to do that. They say that he lived with the usually fatal illness for more than 50 years, passing away at 76. you don't normally see someone with ALS live that long, but he did, and he made the best of it. You know, he did what he could. So you'll see a lot of people talking about that online. You know what else is going to be happening? It's going to be happening today. The national walkouts in schools are organizing it. At least 15 public schools in St. Louis will be joining in on the national school walkout organized by a demand gun control legislation. This was reported in the Post-Dispatch, but you'll see a lot of it covered here at KMOX.com. Many school administrators and students are shying away from calling for gun control. Instead, they're calling for school safety, or simply to honor the 17 victims who were killed in last month's shooting at Stoneman Douglas High in Parkland, Florida, which sparked a call for the Wednesday walkouts. So what, the one-month anniversary of when that happened. School leaders steered students away from walking out. Instead, they're opting for in-class or school assemblies or maybe a moment of silence, which is much more appropriate. If the schools wanted to do a moment of silence, that would be totally appropriate. But the walkouts are a completely different thing. Now, if you're a parent, are you going to be able to talk to your kids ahead of time, or have you talked to your kids ahead of time of how they should handle something like this? Because if they get disciplined by their school, because their school says, you know, there are procedures in place. If you walk out, you'll be disciplined just like you would if you walked out any other day. And because of that discipline, as a parent, have you said, you know, if I find out you walked out and you've been disciplined, you know, you're going to get it here too. It's not just something that ends at school. It'd be like if you got a detention or whatever else, the consequences are in the home. Are you encouraging your kid? Do you feel like you want to see your kid engaged in this? I feel like most parents don't. I feel like most parents realize that a lot of times these emotions of the kids are being exploited by other people. And that's why you need to set this in front of them and to let them know that, you know, do you really know where you stand on this or why you stand for this? Do you think it's about student safety? Do you think it's about something different? Maybe this could be an open discussion you could have with your kids. But the walkout is not a narrative, they say, which I tend to disagree. But when school leaders know a walkout is coming, they must not only consider student safety, but also students' right to free expression and the possibility that some students could use the walkout to play hooky. Unlike, and this is from the Post-Dispatch article, unlike past school walkouts that have happened more spontaneously, Wednesday's walkout for most schools have been highly organized up to 2 weeks at a time by students in collaboration with administrators. So some schools... Triad High School, Highland High School, Maplewood, Richmond High Schools are requiring signed permission slips so that the staff knows ahead of time how large the walkouts will be, and they can ensure that staff remain inside to supervise students who choose not to walk out. The permission slips also serve as a vehicle for students to have meaningful discussions about the issues surrounding the walkout. School leaders have similar letters too. I don't think schools should be, participating in any type of walkout. They shouldn't have any role in it. What they should be doing is discouraging it. They shouldn't be taking stances like this. You know, now it's one thing to say school safety, but that's not what it's about. You know, that's basically what some superintendents are saying to try to make themselves feel better about it or try to spin it in a certain way. They know exactly what they're doing. Now, if they wanted to have actually discussions about school safety, you know where you do that sort of thing? I don't know, school board. Maybe you actually talk to the parents about that. Maybe you talk to people that could help you get funding for it. Maybe you could talk about solutions for that sort of thing. Maybe that's where you should be starting with school safety. Maybe you should be talking to police. Maybe you should be talking to people that could actually, you know, do something about school safety. I think that would be important. You can get that story online. Let me let you also know that I have no idea what's going to happen. I mean, it's going to, the walkouts are going to happen today. The most likely scenario is that some students do it, they get disciplined, and that's going to be the end of it. And then you'll find it happen at a lot of different schools nationwide. And you're going to get a lot of people with footage of, you know, angry students walking out or doing whatever they're doing and then reaction. And then the story is going to be done. But either way, I look forward to figuring out how this resolves in the next 20 hours or so. All right. Ryan.Recker at KMOX.com is my email address. At Ryan Recker on Twitter. Next hour, replay of our interview. Boy, this is a good one. Stephen Mango, his experience inside Scientology. Next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.